Hello and welcome to Law and Order S Review here on Fanversation. I am Yael Teagle. That's Taylor Gates. This is season 25, episode 12, Marauder. Happy Mother's Day to those who have offspring. Yep.
Exactly.
all right. Before we jump in, if you need help, if you want to talk to somebody, please reach out to Rain. Their number is 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-4673. Taylor, what does that spell?
It spells hope.
It does. 4673 spells hope, and so does Rain. Okay. If this is your first time checking out our show, this is the worst episode to do that, but whatever. That's your choice. Consider this your content warning. Sometimes SVU deals with real serious issues. Most of the time, actually, it deals with real serious issues. And we, on S Review, deal with not serious issues and say all sorts of things. So consider this your content warning. This show may not be for you. And that's okay. You're missing out, but that's on you. And we
problem, but whatever.
Yeah. Do what you got to do for yourself. Take care of you, and we'll take care of everybody else with our stupidity.
Yes.
All right. Marauder. Here is the plot. Agent Sykes struggles to cope with the anniversary of her sister's disappearance. Benson suspects a cold case from Manhattan could help her get closure. Sure. Taylor, what did you think about this episode? Because we all know how we feel about Sykes.
Okay, so the thing is, the actual case and like them connecting the people and the perp, all actually very interesting. I was engaged with that. I was here for that. The way we got there with Sykes and Olivia made no sense to me and felt like wholly unnecessary. Mm. But I'm glad that Sykes wasn't in it for the most part, and she wasn't like leading the crusade, because I didn't want to see that. So did it make sense that she wasn't? No, but I'm just glad that I didn't have to see her investigate it the whole time. And I mean, credit to the actress, because the scene in the morgue,
yes,
so good. Acting was amazing, on point, did a great job. But I just still just these characters know for me.
So let's start there. I agree with you wholeheartedly that having Sykes not be part of the case was hilarious. Like, what a hilarious choice to do. But okay, I'm into it. It worked out. And agreed 100%. Jordana Spiro, who plays Sykes, fantastic performance. I think this episode I liked her more than I have the entire time we've had her. She was great in this. The breakdown at the end, phenomenal. Really like passionate and beautiful and well done. So really like props to that. But the the rest of this, I will say, I liked the flashback to 97. Loved that. That was cool. And then the rest of the case, I was like, yeah, okay.
I think that there were just details that I thought were interesting, like the greeting card thing, and Kim's dad was like really fascinating to me. It like was weird, but I was like, this is like really sad. Like, it made me really upset because he had so much of this false hope, and I thought that was kind of interesting how he is like gaslit himself into like believing what he has to survive. I thought that was really fascinating. And then, like I said, the villain was scary. That guy was fucking creepy. And so I was like kind of here for it, because last week we had such a boring perp that this guy was at least spicy and like wild. So I was like, okay, I appreciate that. Like, he freaked me out.
All right.
They were so pretty and so young, and I wanted them to stay that way. Okay, that's an insane thing to say, but all right.
I agree with you, Kim's dad. MVP of the episode, Alberto Isaac played Harry. I think that whole scene was phenomenal. I loved it so much. It was really great. The whole thing with the greeting cards was so bizarre and such a obnoxious like tangent that distracted us from the case. I hate when that happens as like a I'm impatient to know who did it thing mm-hmm. and how we got there. But like, ugh, it's so interesting. And I think that the villain, it was odd to me. Like I don't know what his motive really was other than he just was creepy. But also like the Polaroids, the thing that like really, really like I'm stuck on is the detective that helped McCluskey. Sorry.
Detective yeah, McCluskey. I also was like, I don't even know how to spell that or say that. Like,
he was fun and great, and I think it was interesting. But the idea that he came up with this concept that he got rid of the photos probably because he got married. Fine, interesting theory. Then when they were like, you didn't get rid of it because you didn't get rid of the photos because you got married. You got rid of it because your daughter got old enough to look for them. This man has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Also, how do you know that? Like, that was weird. And also, what does that mean then? Like, that the wife, it's fine if she finds them? Like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know.
And then also, this is a me issue here. Viewing the montage of showing us the dead bodies, just from a production standpoint, this like really bothered me. Taylor, you're gonna find this funny, I think. They had the like first scene. He has one line where they're showing them dig up the one body. Production wise, what an expensive shot for one line to then do that five times. I understood it with Kim's dad, and I understood it with Markham, the cousin. But like the other ones, I went, what a waste of money. Just in terms
to me, like honestly, I don't even think it was that expensive because they all look like it was in like roughly the same exact place to me, like in the woods. So I was like, they moved 2 feet over and angled the camera a little different. Like it all felt so, I thought they were going to be like drastically different locations. You know, I was like, one of them's going to be in some like under some bridge. You know what I mean? Like something, they were all like roughly in the same place. I was like, yeah, you guys cheated. Like,
I hope so. Because all I could think was you brought out this many extras and the crew to set up this one shot for one line.
No, they had to have cheated. I just know it. It all looked way too similar to me.
I hope they just like and turn.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew, thanks. I also appreciate that you and I are thinking.
Yeah. I was like, there's just no way that SVU has the juice to like move entire things like that. Like they walked a couple feet.
Good. All right. Sorry to our audience who's like, who gives a fuck about that?
Too bad. You can learn from our opinions, and this is our opinions, whether it's production based or not.
That's fair. We have so many people live in the chat with us today. Hello. Thank you for joining us on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to our people who have offspring in our chat. We have Taylor Strickland here, Alexis here, Strong Girl Army's here, Doreen's here. Thank you guys for joining us. Taylor Strickland says, can we talk about how Sykes brought up Johnny D and Lewis again?
Love yes. it.
Did you, here's, okay. So I do like her throwing it back in her face, but there are so many other things. It's almost like our writers only know about those two things.
Yeah, that's true. That's honestly true. Because she's had that thrown in her face like so much lately.
Just this season, they keep bringing it up.
Yeah, but I mean, I did like that it was coming from Sykes. And her, Olivia's look was pissed. And so I liked that. I like it when just like people go toe-to-toe with Benson. Because it doesn't happen that often when they're like competent enough to, you know. But I appreciated that Sykes was competent and confident enough to this episode. I still think that she's knock off Rollins in everything she does, but at least it wasn't just like, my sister. Like, that's a bummer. Like, that is a bummer, but at least you, like, had a new spicy personality this episode.
I agree. Like I said, this is the first time I've liked Sykes. And I think it was so interesting that we got to see this. I don't know. I appreciate that also when she came out and pointed out the Jane Doe and was like, Like, you think I wouldn't put this together and you can't even like be bothered to use her name? I liked that she called her out on it, because as I'm sitting there and Benson's lying to her team, all I could think was, are they not going to put together that that's her? And then I was like, oh, they put Jane Doe.
It's just so weird that she did it without Sykes asking her to me. I still don't understand that logic at all. Like, I did it for Crystal, which, okay, here, I have the dumbest gripe ever. Crystal Sykes sounds so much like Crystal Skies, which sounds like a stripper name or something, which is fine, but, like, nothing wrong with strippers at all. But it just really distracted me.
I'm with you. I think Crystal Sykes by itself is a good stripper name.
That's true.
And we support sex workers here on the show.
100%. So, yeah. But I was just like, that, it doesn't fit her character. You know what I mean? I was like, Crystal is not this girl's name. Like, it's just not. It's like Emma or something. You know, I don't believe that it's Crystal. It doesn't fit with her.
I think that Shanna is such a odd name.
Yeah.
So, like, to then name the next one Crystal feels even weirder.
I agree. It was I don't know. It doesn't fit with me.
Sorry, everybody.
Also, like, you're not allowed to keep naming people Kim because, like, Kim Rollins existed and she was a legend. And so stop naming characters Kim.
You can't take away the name Kim.
Yes, I can. After you had Kim Rollins, who caused the most chaos of, like, anybody on this show, you absolutely... That's her style.
You're so funny. Let's talk about the cousin confessing. Did at any point, did you think that he did it, or did you understand what was happening?
I understood what was happening to an extent, because he drops that and then they have a commercial break. And I'm like, they are so leading me down this path. That is not true. Like, there has to be some kind of twist. Like, we've seen that a lot, which I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love a dramatic twist like that, but I see through it at this point. Like, there's just no way. I didn't quite understand why. And then they started and I was like, ah, yeah, that does make sense.
I mean, the last thing. So Benson tells him, we have no reason to exhume the body legally. So we need something that makes us have a reason. And then he comes in and says it. So I shout at the TV, that's not what she meant.
But it worked.
It worked. I honestly, this is awful. I would have, because of how flawed our system is, I would have loved, which is a weird thing to say, that he would have been stuck in jail until they found the guy. Like, yeah. I would have much preferred him not realizing what a stupid mistake this was. That, like, and Benson being like, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have encouraged him to do this, because now he's stuck in jail. Because yeah. To be fair, there was a chance that there was no deal. Like, there was such a chance that this man would have just spent the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting, though, because, like, I don't know, that's a really big sacrifice, really big risk to take. So it's clear he cares in, like, a very interesting way, even though showing it is, like, maybe a little flawed, but he didn't know what else to do. I thought that was kind of... I thought that was interesting.
I agree. I mean, almost feels like he could have come up with, like, given them some other direction. Not necessarily, but, like, I witnessed something. Didn't have to be like, I did it. You know what I mean?
This is just, like, the most foolproof, though. This is, like, that's a bad word. Like, what else do you want?
And risking the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah. I mean, more dramatic.
Yeah. Honestly, my notes are so sparse on this episode. So what do you got?
I thought the detective McCluskey. Yeah, I thought he was guilty. I don't know. Something about him. I was just like, he has something to do with this. Like, I don't know. He's shady.
That's fair. I think it definitely felt like we were trying to go somewhere with that. Yeah. But also... when we get to Hannah Kincaid, that's the daughter who did the genetic testing or whatever for her family match. Genealogy, that's what I'm looking for. When they're like, we're investigating this crime, there was a series of crimes that ended over 20 years ago. She didn't ask what the crime was, but she was like, no, my dad's such a good guy. Ma'am, what if it was like carjacking? You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Maybe he embezzled funds. Like, he right. does seem like the type that he would embezzle funds. You know what I mean?
Like, she's like, no, he's such a good guy. You don't ask what the crime is.
She was just, like, not the sharpest tool, in my opinion, though. No offense, girl. But
oh, no.
Just didn't seem... we'll get to an invest lines because there's a moment with her where I was like, okay. I also think it's an interesting thing that they brought up, and I think they have before a couple mm-hmm. of times, of the DNA, like, genetic testing coming in, because that's such a controversial, like, hot button topic right now of that, and a lot of people won't do it because they, you know, rightfully are nervous that something can happen. And so I think this is really interesting because he didn't choose to do it. Like, his daughter did, and he still got screwed over by it. And I don't know, I find that really interesting. And there's interesting, like, morals and ethics and stuff of this new sort of tool that they're using, even though it's not meant to be a tool. I don't know. I think that's an interesting conversation. And I was fine with them not going hard on it this time, because, like I said, I'm pretty sure it's come into play before, but I always find it interesting when that pops up.
So there was an episode where Carisi uses a, like, you know, 23andMe family, whatever, to do this and find somebody. And it was that episode was one where, like, they really dive into it, because there at the time wasn't laws about it. And he, like, lied to get the info. I don't remember the, like, actual details of that one. But I think that the fact that now they're using it so fluently, so frequently, feels like, and maybe I'm wrong, I've refused to do the DNA testing, but I think that I'm assuming in your, like, thing that you sign now, you have the, like, you give away the rights for them to do that. I'm assuming when you, like, click approve to send or whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. I also loved one of the directorial choices where they're talking to Richard and they have, like, the over-the-top close-up of Olivia and, like, her glasses. I don't know. I thought those shots were so cool and made the show feel so, like, expensive and, like, sophisticated. I thought those shots were awesome, like, that eight, and I just wanted to point that out because I thought it was a really good decision.
I agree. I think that the interrogation with her, the, like, close-up on her with the Polaroids were it was really well done. As Daryl said earlier in the chat, we are here to listen to your thoughts. Of course, we're interested in that stuff, including production crap. Love this. Everyone's so good in the chat. Let's give some shout outs. So the director of this episode, we've had this director before. This is Juan Jose Campanella. Again, this episode was written by, it says, Gabriel Vallejo and Greg Contaldi. I'm sorry I'm butchering names, but it was a story by Brendan Feeney. We love our Brendan Feeney. Actor shout out. So Richard was played by Larry Pine. I gotta say, I think that the way that he tried to run away during his party was hilarious.
Yeah.
But also, he is a repeat offender. From season 8, episode 2, Clock, he was an attorney. So repeat offender there. He also, I feel like, is a very familiar face.
Yeah.
That he's a character actor you've probably seen before. McCluskey also was somebody familiar. I'm pulling it up right now. Played by Kenneth Tiger. This is his first SVU episode, but he's been in a lot of things. Let's see. Cal Markham, that's the cousin, was played by Gabe Fazio. Kim's dad was played by Alberto Isaac. Lee Markham. Is that the cousin? No, Lee Markham's the dad. Yeah.
I don't remember, frankly.
That's fine.
I remember Gwen.
Gwen's the dead body. Yeah. Hedda Kincaid was played by Laura Casillo. Crystal in the flashbacks was played by Stella Bratcher. Anybody else want to give shout outs to? No? All right.
Okay, this is such a small thing, but please. It just popped into my mind because you were talking about how he said like one line each when they were looking at the bodies. This is so dumb, but I was dying to know because he said, oh, she almost talked me out of strangling her and then didn't elaborate. And I was like, I want to know more about how she almost talked you out of it and why you ultimately didn't. Like, maybe that's just a small, really morbid thing. But I was like, you can't just start that and then not finish it. Like, I was really curious to hear more about that. And then we didn't.
I agree with you. I think that, like, this case focused so much more on like Olivia handling it than the actual case. And like, again, what was it about these specific women that really like attracted him and why, and like, why did he do what he did? And again, and what did she like, how did she talk him out? Cause the one where he was like, it's a beautiful location and she's a beautiful girl. So like, I thought that is interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah. You just wanted to preserve their young whatever.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Taylor Strickland in the chat says she was wrong for opening the case without telling Sykes. I think there was a part, I don't remember, because I didn't make a note of it, but there's a part where Sykes is like, I asked you not to do this. It was like, I think at the end, she goes, I asked you not to do this. And then Benz is like, well, what can I do? Like, what do you need? It's like, she needed you to not do this.
Yeah.
That's what she needed. What is that?
Sorry, it's my phone. Vibrating. That was really aggressive.
It was aggressive.
Like really a lot. Okay. My controversially brave thing to say is that who cares what Sykes says? And that's not even like my like or dislike on her, but like it's literally not her call. I do think it was weird that Olivia went after this, which again, this is going to sound awful, but like they don't have that many resources. They don't have that much time. They don't have that much. So why are you focusing on this case when I'm sure there was like 20 other cases that came in that were like fresh? You know what I mean? I think that's a hard thing to say because I do think it's still important to try to obviously solve cold cases and figure out what happened. And whether there's a chance they're still alive or not, I think that's important to try to have closure. But at the same time, like, you have to pick your cases, unfortunately. And so it felt very interesting that you didn't choose one of the 20 other cases that were, like, in your jurisdiction and that happened, like, yesterday.
So, totally agree with you. Alexa in the chat says, Olivia straight lied to her team at the beginning. And then Deanna adds, she lied about Carisi's involvement when he didn't even know. I agree. I think the fact that Carisi wasn't even in the episode, hilarious.
He has something else to do.
Yeah. But also, we decided to assign the entire squad to this cold case on a lie. Like, I understand if Benson pulled Finn and was like, we're taking this, and they and the rest of the squad dealt with, because I guarantee in Manhattan, not to say that New York is full of crime, but hey, I
you go guarantee, to New York when there's too much crime in San Francisco.
Yes, that's true. But I guarantee that there are cases for them from the day before, the night before, that morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Also, there, I believe, and I'm not a cop, so correct me if I'm wrong, there is a cold case department.
I believe so. Yeah.
So it could have been helpful for Benson to, when she put together what she put together, to then go, hey, cold case, I put this together.
Yeah.
Alexa in the chat says, oh no, sorry, where to go? She's in charge, no need to lie. That's true. She could have been like, because I said so, we're doing this because I said so.
Yeah, it's her discretion. And also it's true, like, yeah, she was, we don't actually really know why Olivia was doing it. I don't ever think that was made that clear. But yeah, it is true that Sykes was like, why would you do this to me? I asked you not to. And she's like, I did it for Crystal, which I think is true too, because it's like, it, like, no offense, but like, it doesn't really matter if you want to or not. I get that that's like a very sensitive topic around you because you were her sister and you have guilt, but at the same time, like, it's not all about you. There also are, like Olivia pointed out, multiple more families involved in this, girl. Like,
right.
You cannot be selfish. And I know that sounds really harsh, but it's kind of true.
Totally. I think that, like, the conversation that was had, not with Sykes, but about Sykes, and that, like, if she were to solve this, it takes away her, like, driving force, is an interesting conversation to have, perhaps with the person it's about.
Yeah.
Deanna in the chat suggested Danny Vigneau should have been there because cold case. Love it. So good. Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Friends. Oh my goodness, this episode. All right. I'm looking through my notes. Let's talk about the cards, though, and like that whole detour we took and the reason why.
Yeah.
So sometimes people get obsessed with strangers. Would you say that guy was probably an incel?
Yeah. Although I will, okay. Maybe I'm just having a lot of controversial opinions.
Sounds
at
like
the
it.
Same time, I think his reasoning made it creepier for sure. He was like, I thought she was really cool. Cute. And pretty. And I was like, that's weird. However, I think 14, if it was presented in a different way, 14 is still pretty young and you can be like, you know, more sweet and naive. And so if he wanted to like help the dad, like not be lonely, you know what I mean? Or give him hope or something. I actually think that could have been like nice in a way, like in a weird wrong way, but like the intentions could have been good. And I kind of like wish that maybe they would have given him at least the benefit of the doubt at the beginning, because then like that was so messed up, blah, blah, blah. I was like, he was 14 at the end of the day. Like, that is a child. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like they could have been a bit gentler and softer at the beginning. And then when he started saying all that crazy shit, then they kind of gotten harsher. But I like hope for him that I was like, oh, maybe that's like kind of sweet, you know?
I agree with you. I think that, I mean, he was a dumb kid, and I think that that's like a sufficient reason.
Yeah.
I think the reason why it ended made the most sense, where he's like, I outgrew it. Like, this was a thing I was doing, and then I was like, oh, I'm bored with this now. that feels fine. Daryl says calling him an incel at 14 is harsh. All right. My mistake. I take
all right,
it back.
EQ in training or incel in training?
fine. I just... All right. I'll take it back. I take it back.
I mean, he kind of grew into someone who maybe was, so... He was fine. He wasn't that bad. We need to relax.
Yeah. Right.
He was okay.
Yeah, this has such a 14 response. Yeah. Try to think of stupid shit I did at 14.
Yeah.
And I'd rather not. So, on that note, hey, Taylor, you got some lines you want to share with us?
Sure. Do you have any?
I have no. Okay. I have none.
No worries. That's the most no-sounding yeah I've ever heard in my life. You didn't exactly catch a cold case. It caught you. I thought the girl's whole family, I'm blanking on her name. Oh, maybe it was Gwen's family. There were so many girls. I'm like, who was who again? Because we kind of went. But the family that we talked to in the living room, that was Gwen's family. Yeah,
that's the Markham.
Yeah. Okay. I got confused because then the cousin, it was the whole thing. But they were like talking about the day that she disappeared, and they were just like so aggressive. Like every line they said, it was just, I was just like, whoa. They're like, so you sent her back out? It wasn't even late. Like they said it so defensive, which I guess I understand, but
sure.
If you guys are gonna start all this again, you better finish it. True. Lying has a bad rap, but it can be pretty therapeutic. Literally, this comes up every week. For what? What is going on? There was a marriage line too that I didn't write down, but
this is every episode we seem to have did Finn say this one again?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, because this is now the third, I think, that Finn has pointed out that like lies are part of a marriage.
And then Bruno in this episode, I think, was like, winning is the best part of a marriage, like winning arguments. I'm like, you guys are messed up. You guys need counseling. This is crazy. Every week you guys say shit like this. Can you talk to him? Not without a Ouija board. Classic. Our DA is going to tell us to pound sand. I think pound sand is just such an interesting turn of phrase. This isn't about the VIX. Isn't about me. This is about you. True. Good luck. Oh, this was, I was like, what's this one? I'm just reading them, not ahead. But just her whole snap back at Olivia. Good luck with your open cases. I hope they distract you from your own endless amounts of baggage. Johnny T, William Lewis. I was like, damn. She reminded me of, I forget the name, but it was some other detective. The blonde woman from a couple of seasons ago. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Give me any case.
Orfe or something is the actor's name. She was a detective from a different precinct, I think.
Was it what's-his-face's wife? It's in real life, she's Baby Dodd's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. She was from Brooklyn, Bronx?
Yes, yes. What's her name? Hold on, I'm looking her up because I'm like, I remember the actor's name because we're mutuals on Twitter now. Thanks, girl.
That's because you loved her and we
I did love her.
And I was so mean about her.
Detective Szabo.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Iconic. That she reminded me so much of her in the moment. I was like, delicious, channel her. Okay, here's the line that was crazy to me from the daughter.
Orfe, yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome. You can bring her back. My husband didn't believe I had Welsh blood, proved him wrong. What makes, like, why would her husband not believe she had Welsh blood is my question. Like, she is some white redhead. Like, she feels very Welsh to me. I don't get it.
I got nothing.
I just thought that line was crazy because I was like, use any other thing. Like, Welsh feels exactly right for who you are. Yeah, I thought that was weird. And then these girls were so pretty, so young. I wanted them to stay that way. It's just so creepy and sinister. So I had to write that one down. You're right. The motive could have been fleshed out more, but I was like, it was creepy enough that I was like, I was fine with it.
But it also, it ended 20 years ago. Why?
Yeah, that's true.
Why did he stop?
My life didn't have any purpose before this. Like, so you're still doing it, yeah? Guess not.
Yeah. All right. Those are the best lines. News, friends. I have news. Actually, I'm guessing this news would come from our organized crime
correspondent.
Thank you. I was like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yep.
Correspondent Alexa. But organized crime is officially moving to Peacock next season. So organized crime will not be airing on NBC. It will be on Peacock officially.
That kind of makes more sense to me, if we're being honest.
I mean, I stopped watching, so I don't really care, but.
But it's more of a continuing story. Yeah. Which
yes.
Makes it feels more Peacock-esque. Mm. And supposedly you could probably go darker on Peacock too. Yeah. Because it's not on network TV.
Interesting. Good like question.
You can cuss and stuff. Ooh. Let Olivia say fuck.
Interesting.
Alexa's
defending it. She says it's a really good show. I'm happy for you.
No, it's okay. Different tastes. It's okay.
I love that you love it. Not just because I am done and I refuse to sit through it, but I love that you love it because the more we get, the more, you know, we get, and I'm happy for
yeah.
that. So the story continues. So big news, because we already know that SV was renewed, but organized crime officially renewed and going to Peacock. Fantastic. It's time for shower thoughts. You want me to take it?
Yep. I never have anything prepared for this.
For our friends who are listening in the shower or bath, or are at the pool, any body of water. I had a shower thought while I was watching And now I can't for the life of me remember what it was.
Every single week you say something similar to this.
Because I think about it, and this time I didn't write it down. And that bums me out.
You never write it down is the issue.
I'm busy.
You guys, bring a pad of paper into the shower with you.
Did you know, shower thoughts, did you know that you can buy waterproof paper that is made to be stuck on your shower?
Yes.
You knew about this?
Yes, and you need it, apparently.
I have it. I believe it's still on my Amazon wish list. I've put off, it's $10. I don't know why I've put off buying it. I will purchase this. I am purchasing this. Friends, today's shower thoughts are that I have announced on the air, I am purchasing paper for my shower to take notes.
Period. Everyone else, you need to do it too. You know what you could do? Is you could write a review of the show for iTunes and then transcribe it and put it on iTunes.
Ooh, I love
that.
Wow. Did you know, for our friends who are listening on iTunes, that if you write us a review on iTunes and give us 5 stars and let us know what you love, we'll read it live on the air. And if you don't like us, you can give us 4 stars and write what we should do better. And we might read that on the air, because why
might.
Not?
You might read anything you write, so you might as well just attempt.
That's true. We do not have any new reviews, though, and that bums me out.
Sad.
But I guess the shower thoughts are, hey, y'all, buy the paper for the shower.
Yeah.
Do better.
Do better.
I want to do better. You all deserve better.
Yeah, we do.
You never come with shower thoughts. Why am You're I right. getting blamed?
I came with 15 lines.
That's fair. You're right. You're right. You win.
Shut your mouth really fast.
Okay. What did we learn?
I know what I learned.
What did you learn?
Commuters versus, I can't pronounce the word.
Marauder.
Marauders.
Go on.
I don't know. I thought that was just interesting how commuters drive or go to very specific locations, where marauders are just I'll just stay in my general area for convenience sake. So I don't know. That's fascinating.
The thing that they said on the show was that a commuter travels right to find victims. Marauder sticks to a location and offends around that location.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting in that we've never heard this term before. We've never heard this concept before, but also something that for those who don't know, I when I was in college was minoring in criminal justice. And one of the things I learned, also something you learned from the show, is that perps tend to hunt where they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so even commuter or a marauder, the places where you are hunting is going to be either close to where you live or close to where you work or close to where you grew up, somewhere that you feel comfortable. I found it interesting that we didn't go more in depth into that, but it's fine. And that the way that the map showed, there was just an empty space in the middle, felt so weird, because also how did you choose that radius?
Right.
For your map? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If anything, the map should have been within these, it's just within this, not within the space. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I learned, and I don't actually know if this is true, but I learned from the show that the post office tracks your mail, whether you've put a return address or anything on it. That's interesting. Not surprising if it's true.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Yeah. More you know.
Alexa with our organized crime update in the chat says, organized crime, aka Stabler Brothers, the Stabler Brothers show, Elliot and Randall kidnap Joe Jr. to get him off heroin. Eli is moving back to New York with Becky, but doesn't say why. So our theory that he impregnated that hot girl stands.
A good thing I didn't even know he'd ever left New York. I was like, oh, he left?
There was questions in the chat. I'm sorry, I missed it, about the paper for the shower. Daryl asked, does it work with pen or pencil? According to the ones that I found, it works with pencil. And it comes with a pencil, I think, but I think it may work with a specific pen. And then Alexa says there are shower crayons for kids. Which one am I more likely to buy?
Sour Patch Kids.
Obviously. That's something we've learned about Yale today. On that note, friends, next week is the season finale. Can Crazy. You believe it?
Crazy.
I mean, it kind of makes sense since we just were like a spring show this year and we're getting close to finale season anyway.
Yeah.
And because of the strike, they could only do half a season. How did you feel? I mean, I guess we'll talk about it more next episode, but like, how are you feeling as we get up to the finale?
I mean, I honestly think this has been a pretty solid season. There's a lot of episodes I've really enjoyed. I think it's stronger than a lot of recent seasons, to be honest with you. I think our new team is good for the most part, which is nice. It's fun to actually have a full squad. It would be nice to make them regulars. We can have them in a little theme song next year. But yeah, I think it's been solid. I think that we don't need some of the overarching stuff that we've had. Like the Maddie stuff was a bit long for no reason for me. But yeah, I think this has been a good season. I'm like very positive on it overall.
Interesting. I agree mostly. I think there were some really good ones. There were some not so great ones. The Maddie stuff was way too long, especially because, again, like SVU is at its core, the story concludes in the episode. And that's what we want. We want that kind of crap. And we love it when it throws back. Like, had we not mentioned Johnny D and Lewis so many times this season, tossing those names out, fun. When Benson started the season and was doing therapy and like talked about the other cases, fun. But to continue Maddie's story for so many episodes, wow.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because the premiere, they really tried to pull in the 25 year thing with the flashbacks and stuff. And I'm wondering if they're going to do anything big for that next week for the finale of it too.
Also, the premiere had a like VO, right? There was like a very weird voiceover.
I think so. It was very unique. We'll see if they do it because it'd be kind of a bummer if it was just any other episode, but I don't really know what threads they have to tie up. You know what I mean? Like if they would have extended the Maddie stuff and had that be, that would have been like, okay, that's like a full season arc. But
yeah.
I'm really curious to see what they're going to do because it doesn't really feel like there's a lot of loose ends that are going to explode in a big way, which is like I'm fine with that. I don't usually like the big arcs, but it's unusual, I think, especially from the past few years.
I agree, kind of. I feel like, you know, traditionally SVU finishes the season off with just a wild case. And maybe a character leaves, but also sometimes we don't even know the character's leaving till the next season.
Yeah.
So I you know, it'll be interesting to see where they go. I think that in terms of the team, Velasco seems to not be going anywhere, so fine. Bruno should 100% be part of the team. Curry should 100% be part of the team and be a regular. There's no reason that she shouldn't. It feels to me like not only did we wrap up Psych's story, but she blew up at Olivia. So if she's like, I don't want to come back, I need to figure out what to do with my life. Great. You know what I mean?
And Amanda has to come back. So we've been teasing it nonstop.
Yeah. So maybe that's where season 26.
She said, this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
I would prefer it's not.
The squad room is not big enough for the both of them.
I mean, we don't need Sykes. We need Curry. I would love to see more of Curry. I would love to see her do more investigating.
Yeah.
And then Finn is always there because he's Finn.
Yeah, we love that.
And then, you know what I really want to see, and I doubt we will? Carisi in a courtroom.
Yeah. Something I'm going to say, he still just doesn't do it for me as a DA. Like, he's fine, but compared to the other DAs we've had, he's, like, not even top five for me, I don't think.
Wow.
He's okay. He was better as a detective, in my opinion. And you have Novak, when you have Cabot, when you have Barba, like, having Carisi there, I'm like, okay.
I think you make an excellent point, especially because he seems to come and be in the squad room being a detective all the time, which is odd.
Yeah. He just is kind of boring in the courtroom. So I don't really even miss the courtroom scenes because it doesn't usually, like, Barbara was so theatrical.
But that's the thing is, I feel like Carisi, like, he, like, does his thing and then pulls out a Barbara. And, like, I love when he does that. But also, I guess I just miss Barba.
That's the thing. Or, like, I don't know. Like I said, the Cabot style was interesting. Casey Novak's my girl. Like, she was always crazy in there. Sonia Paxton was interesting in the courtroom. Like, Carisi's too... I mean, he will get a little sassy here and there. But overall, he's, like, too buttoned up for me, if that makes sense. Like, I need the lawyers to be, like, catty and vicious.
I'll say this, and this is going to be the most controversial thing. If you're not bringing us back Rollins, then take Carisi with you. At this point, let them go live their lives and give us a new DA. Like, give us a new, you know what I mean? Like, let us experience something new. Because seeing them work together, was that last episode?
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Seeing him have to hold himself back while Rollins pulls a Rollins, that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel like we have characters that are so, there's so much to mine from them, if that makes sense. Like Curry, there's so much interesting stuff there and so much background. Bruno, we love his background. We love his personality. And I feel like at Carisi at this point, like, we know exactly who he is, and he doesn't really surprise me. You know what I mean? And that's, I think, where the issue is. It's like, he's, like, fine enough. Like, we have love for him, but I don't know what he's really adding. Even Olivia, like, we've seen her for 25 years, but she will do stuff. Even in this episode, we're like, what are you literally doing? Like, she keeps surprising us, and he's just so consistent, which is great for a husband, but, like, not as interesting for a TV character.
I think you're right, especially about Olivia, in that, like, you're right. In this episode, there was what are you doing questions.
She's been crazy this whole season, though.
Yeah, but at least some of it makes sense for her character.
Yeah.
Like, her behavior to take this case and be so, you know, invested in finding these girls and finding the answers, that's very Olivia. When she said, I did this for Crystal, that's very Olivia. Her lying to her squad, it's kind of very Olivia. What did Finn say? Seeking forgiveness rather than permission is very Station 16.
Yeah,
so I agree. I think that even though she does things that you're going, what are you doing? It's on brand.
Agreed.
Wow, everybody in the chat. Deanna says, Barba will always be the goat. Doreen says, I like Carisi better as a cop for sure. Alex says, Barba's my favorite. And Deanna says, Stone was a nice OG throwback. No.
Agree to disagree.
As I've said before, and I will say it many a times, Stone was useless with a shirt on. I thought you were talking about Sharon Stone.
Agreed.
She was Marlo, right?
She was nuts. Loved her.
Her episode,
first episodes I ever saw,
was currently on the air when I sat down to rewatch this episode. I would have preferred to sit down and watch that.
She was wild.
All right. Until next week, when we discuss the season finale of SVU here on S Review. Taylor, where are you on the internet and what are you up to these days?
I am on Twitter still at @alphabet_Anne. I'm also on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I am here every week. And I also write articles for Collider and reviews and interviews, including one with Bruno for this season. So if you'd like to, And he was shooting the finale when I interviewed him, which is a fun little fun fact. So, yeah, you can read my stuff if you just search Collider and then my name, Taylor Gates. And you can read my words in addition to listening to them here.
Amazing. I'm getting corrected in the chat. I'm so sorry. They meant Stone, original Stone, not Child Stone.
I was going to say, okay, guys. I don't trust you guys.
DA from original line, or Ben Stone was the dad. Dear Ben.
Gotcha.
Not should be Peter. Shirtless Stone. Yeah. Peter. That's it.
Peter.
Anyway, I am Yael Teagle. I am on Instagram at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. And if you like Leverage Redemption or The Ark on Sci-Fi or Almost Paradise on Prime, Freebie? I don't remember what it's on. One of those Amazon Prime Video. Check out the official after shows for those on Electric Now. And if you like to read romance novels, specifically filthy romance novels, you can check out Good Little Library Mouse on Instagram. That's all I'm going to say about that. Until next week, thanks for joining us. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Do the hearts now.